Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
Hey, John. Did I scare you with
you
my...
You scared me. You came in hot. You were like, Taped from New Jersey! Bam!
Bam, pow! Came in like a wrecking ball.
That was something.
Yeah. I scared myself. I didn't realize... I come in hot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was full of fire and vinegar.
Yeah, you were just... Energy.
Yeah.
So, wow.
All those Red Bulls.
Yes. Yes.
Coming with that Z Morning Zoo energy.
That's right. Well, I've often said that, I mean, the logical endpoint of this podcast is someday we're doing like a morning zoo show in Cleveland or something.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Like, I can call them like Big Darren D and the Bull.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That is too perfect.
Big Darren D and the Bull.
What's up? That's right. You mess with the bull, you get the horns.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
guys. I don't like morning radio.
No.
It's not good.
I haven't listened to morning radio in forever.
It's been a long time.
I don't know. Do people do that? Like, I feel like everybody just listens to their Spotify and their podcast nowadays.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. It just, yeah. And because of that, it just, people who still do shows like that, it feels really super hack.
It feels hack and dated and just like, yeah. It's like a bygone era.
But it's what they know how to do.
Yeah, hey man, whatever.
But anyway, enough about morning radio. Yeah.
But if any of you guys want to have us on, that'd be great. We love
it. Yeah, no, yeah. we are not proud. We are for sale.
Yes, we are.
That's
right. We are us for sale and available.
So enough about morning radio. We should get to the topic.
Yeah.
The ostensible topic of our podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And this week we are talking about season 45, episode 4, from October 26, 2019, with Chance the Rapper hosting and musical guesting.
Yeah, and I looked this up because I was really interested about this. You know what Chance the Rapper's real name is, or his birth name?
No.
According to Wikipedia, it's Chancellor Jonathan Bennett.
Chancellor?
His first name is Chancellor.
Wow.
That, I was like, I've never
I was
heard
expecting
that.
His real last name to be The Rapper, and I was like, well, that's weird.
Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
But no, just Chancellor. It's like, wow, that's...
Chancellor. That's regal.
That's a lot to live up to.
Chancellor.
Yeah, it's like when you name your kid Prince or, you know, Royalty or something.
You got expectations.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. You can't be named Royalty and you, like, work at, like, Wendy's or nothing.
Yeah, you name your kid Chancellor. There's a certain expectation.
Yeah,
there.
I'm like, wow, I've never heard that. Yeah. That just took me by surprise.
That is surprising. I just heard it and I'm surprised.
Right? I'm floored.
Yeah.
Floored.
I wouldn't say I'm floored, but I'm like, that's surprising.
All right. Floored, shocked, or in agog? Maybe.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah.
You have an impressive vocabulary today, I gotta say.
I read books.
You before we were recording, you threw out the word oeuvre.
Oh, milieu?
No, you said
oeuvre.
Oeuvre.
I said oeuvre.
Yes.
I don't want to brag, guys, but I read.
Yeah.
So I know how to read.
Yeah.
So,
he was like, I saw the Joker movie and it's something in that oeuvre.
Yeah.
I
wear glasses and I think I'm smarter than I am.
You're,
so, you
you're
know,
intellectual.
I fit in right into New York City.
And stuff. But
yeah. You mentioned on the Twitters there.
Yes.
You saw the SNL Halloween special that came on earlier last night.
I did. I watched that last night. I was home at 10 p.m. on a Saturday because, you know, I got it going on.
Yeah. Ladies.
I was like, oh, let's see what SNL's doing for the 10 p.m. rerun. Maybe they'll show one of Chance's earlier episodes did Halloween because Halloween's coming up next Thursday and it's weird to do a Halloween special after Halloween. So
that's odd.
So that's what they did. And they were doing something really, really odd. They started, and they were doing this throughout the show. They would show just a few seconds of a sketch up top, maybe a minute, cut to commercial in the middle of the sketch, and then come back.
To the end of that sketch.
To the end of that sketch. And it seemed like they'd often skipped ahead a little bit. They did the Vincent Price's Halloween special.
Yeah.
And it's classic. You got Bill Hader doing the Vincent Price thing. They had John Hamm doing his James Mason, which is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that sketch. And then they cut away in the middle of it. And I was like, and the first time I was like, well, that's weird. I never really see them do that on the reruns.
Yeah.
That must have been a technical screw-up. And then they did it again later. What? And then they did it again later. They did it like four or five times over the course of the hour.
That is bizarre.
And
why did they do that?
I have no idea. And so I was like, hey, yeah. I've got a forum for this. I've got the SNL Nerds account. I'm gonna tweet about this.
You went off.
I went off. This was pissing
Hell
me
hath
off.
No fury.
Like a Trumbull scorned. That's right. Yeah. It really was annoying me because you're starting to get into a sketch and then just, you know, it's like not to be crude, but coitus interruptus.
Ooh.
You know, it's like...
who knows the big words?
You get all worked up, and then you're just, is that all? Oh, okay.
SNL Blue Balls.
Yes, exactly.
Wowee.
Exactly. That it was SNL Blue Balls.
That is bonkers.
So I was like, you know, I tagged the SNL account, I tagged NBC Universal, I tagged some of the people who are in the sketches that were getting cut to shreds. The weird thing is, the show ended... cutting off a sketch. They did the that great Wes Anderson parody that they did with Ed Norton. The sinister coterie of Midnight Intruders.
Right, like the Wes Anderson slasher film.
Right.
That's a great sketch.
You know, with Ed Norton doing a killer Owen Wilson impression, they showed literally like 30 seconds of it, and then the show ended and went to the 11 o'clock news.
The fuck?
Exactly.
That's
what the fuck?
What the fuck? Why would
you
do that?
No idea what was going on, but I was like, whoever's doing this needs to lose that job, man.
That sucks, dude. That's like,
yeah,
it was Bush League.
It was just really frustrating to watch and not something you see. And apparently it was happening nationally because people were responding to my tweets like, oh yeah, that's happening here in North Carolina. I thought that was like the local affiliate. I thought that was, so this was happening on the national NBC feed. I don't get what was going on.
This goes all the way to the top.
I don't know. We're busting this conspiracy wide open, man.
Oh man, that sucks, dude. Yeah, but, I mean, maybe they're just trying to get more people to watch it on the app or something.
I don't
know.
It's just annoying as hell, though. I mean, why do a special, and literally when you're showing under a minute of a sketch and then you cut away, there's no way I'll believe that you can't time the commercials out differently.
Yeah,
I mean, it seems like it's more effort to cut it up than to leave it intact.
Yeah, I mean, we're not professionals or anything in this TV biz, but like it seems like you can show the full sketch
of
something that aired instead of like chop it up and like commercials into it. Like,
and it's a, they're all rerunning sketches, so it's not like it's tough to stick more commercials in between them or something like that.
Yeah,
Or just rearrange the sketches based on time. I don't get the reasoning behind this at all. I'm just mystified.
Why even bother showing the sketches if you're only going to show like half of them? Just why don't you show a full hour of nothing but commercials? Why don't you just do that? Like it just
that's the eventual end. But anyway, I went on a bit of a Twitter rant, but it got us a few new followers on the Twitter account SNL Nerd Show Twitter account. So cool. It was all worthwhile. No regrets.
Yes. Oh, I see what you did.
No regrets.
Regrets.
And we got some. There's some news with the show.
Okay.
They announced a couple of new hosts and musical guests for the upcoming shows.
Hit me, baby.
Okay, November 2nd, we got Kristen Stewart and Coldplay.
Oh, thoughts? Are you a Coldplay fan? Or
I like the Coldplay. I haven't kept up with them as much as I should have, but I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Okay, I like their earlier stuff, like Yellow. I like Yellow. Yellow's a good song. And some of the stuff off that Rush of Blood to the Head.
Right.
Blood. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I like Creep.
Creep? That's...
No, that's not Coldplay. Fuck. Okay. I'm out of it. That was just a general statement. I like Creep.
I like Creeps.
Yeah.
That's Radiohead. Yes.
That's Radiohead.
TLC.
I'm mixing up my early 2000s hipster bands.
It's Radiohead or TLC, depending on your who do you like.
I didn't know TLC had a song called Creep.
So off of the Crazy 60 Cool album.
Okay, well...
So Creep.
I'm looking forward to Coldplay slightly less now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now that I've learned that they are not, in fact, Radiohead, and they did not do the song Creep.
They'd be like, hey, they didn't do Creep, they didn't do song number two, what is this?
I don't know.
Woohoo!
And I don't feel the fault is mine. I mean, I blame the band.
Yeah.
They sold out. Kristen Stewart, I know she's hosted before.
This is like her second time?
Probably. I don't remember too much about her hosting... I just remember her monologue before where she read some Trump tweets about apparently he got really invested in what went down between her and Robert Pattinson.
Right, right.
He like tweeted a lot about it. And then she said At the end of that, she's I believe she said, "I'm so effing gay, dude."
Yeah, yeah.
But she dropped an F-bomb.
Dropped the F-bomb, and everybody was like, "Ooh."
Yeah, and I just remember, Kate McKinnon was on stage, and she was like, "Ooh."
Yeah, oh, she's a saucy lassie.
Yeah.
And she was also really good in that pre-tape with Vanessa Bayer, the Tostinos.
That was all right. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a... Where it's like her and they're having like it went from a Totino's commercial to like this sexual awakening. Like
I think this must have been like season 43 because it was before we were doing the podcast, as I recall. I don't remember us talking about a Kristen Stewart episode last year.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So it's probably season 43.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean Kristen was all right. So let's see what she does.
I liked her in Adventureland.
Adventureland is so underrated.
Very underrated movie.
Guys, check out Adventureland if you can. Yeah. It's a really good movie and like it's one of those movies.
Great movie.
Like, not a lot of people saw it, but it has a great soundtrack, has Hader and Wig in it, and it's
we should cover that sometime.
Maybe we should.
Yeah.
I have it. I have a copy.
I have a copy.
Ooh, all right.
We'll do that on the next Skip Week.
La-dee-da.
And it looks, and speaking of Skip Weeks, it looks like SNL is doing a Skip Week on the 9th, so maybe we'll talk about Adventureland. That's up in the air. We talked a little about what we're doing. We don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't settled on one thing yet. We got some interesting irons in the fire, though.
That's right. Don't try to hold us down, man. We work at our own pace.
Yeah,
you can't predict us. We're wild like the wind.
Exactly. And then November 16th, we got another host musical guest with Harry Styles.
Yes.
Formerly of...
One Direction.
One Direction. I didn't.
You were about to say NSYNC, weren't you?
No. I was gun shy about naming it because I fucked up so hard on the Coldplay Radiohead thing.
Oh, boy. I felt like you were going to say like Jonas Brothers or Menudo or something.
I could have. I don't know.
Harry Styles from 98 Degrees.
But yes, he was in a boy band 20 years ago. He's still somehow in his 20s now.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Moisturizes.
Well preserved.
Yes. Drinks a lot of water. But yeah, Harry Styles, he was on. He was a musical guest when Jimmy Fallon hosted.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he did like he was in one of the sketches of Family Feud sketch where he played like a young Mick Jagger.
And I remember One Direction when they were the musical guest, they cameoed in. Do you remember that talk show thing that Fred Armisen did? I don't remember the name of the sketch, but like everybody did like a little mambo thing.
Oh yeah, it was like a Spanish talk show, and like, when he brought out another guest, like they would do like that,
and they had all the One Direction. They were in like fake mustaches and big pompadours and stuff, and they were all doing that. That was in the big One Direction heyday.
Yeah, back in their back when they were the shit.
I liked the song Creep. That was a good song. They don't have a song called Creep?
No. No?
Okay.
No.
Did Chance the Rapper sing a song called Creep?
He did not. Stop with the song Creep. What's with you with the song?
I just feel like everyone should have a song, at least one song called Creep.
Oh, for the love of Pete. No. This did not have. It's just Radiohead and TLC, man. There might be other people that had a song called Creep, but there's only two I know.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, so those are the new hosts coming up. So that's exciting.
I mean, Kristen Stewart, I think, she'll be all right. Harry Styles, I don't know. I mean, I know.
We're not the demographic.
Yeah, that's true. This is for the young teeny boppers.
But I'd like to see him. I'd give him a chance. I know he's the guy who left One Direction to go solo.
I believe, right? Wasn't there Zane or something? Zion?
There's
a One Direction guy with like a Z in his name.
I feel like he's the Justin Timberlake of One Direction because he's the guy who went solo and has had some success on his own.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's the only one person from One Direction who I can name. So I feel like he has to be the guy who went solo.
That's all right. I'll give you that.
So
yeah, this is him on his ascension to Justin Timberlake-like status.
Right. Yeah. No. If he does a great job on it, maybe he'll become one of the go-to hosts Justin Timberlake, like JT.
Yeah, maybe he'll have his own little dick in the box sketch.
Yeah,
to call his own.
I mean, that's the dream.
That's what I strive for.
That's the dream.
Fingers crossed.
But anyway, we're looking forward to that. And we've got some exciting news.
Yes,
that we just found out about this morning we were recording this. We got mentioned on the Entertainment Weekly website.
Woo!
Yes.
Hot diggity dog.
So this is really exciting. Our friend Andy, who runs the SNL In Review Twitter account.
Yes. Follow him, please.
Yeah, Andy Hoagland. He writes SNL recaps for Entertainment Weekly. I believe it's just on the website. I don't think this runs in the magazine, but
still. So he does it's print.
Yeah.
It's print, baby.
He does these weekly recaps, and at the end of this week's recap of the show, which we will get to, I promise, he mentions us. He says, there's a little item at the end that says, looking for a fun podcast that delves into SNL history? Look no further than the good people at SNL Nerds. Based in New Jersey, the show features the goofy, easygoing insights from two comics, Darren Patterson and John Trumbull. Their platform, Nonproductive, owns a solid morsel of the pop culture podcast universe. That's tough to say. Right. Give them a shot. So,
I'll give it a shot.
That was really cool. We were not expecting that. We did not know that was coming. Andy just sent us a note at like 2 a.m. yes. on our Twitter account. He's like, hey, I gave you guys a shout out. Thought you'd want to know. Please share it if you can. So thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you very much, Andy. And guys, yeah, check out the article. Follow Andy at SNL in Review.
SNL in Review.
On Twitter. And follow Entertainment Weekly at EW.
Yeah, because Entertainment Weekly, they really need the boost.
Yeah, then you know,
they need the SNL Nerds bump.
Yeah, let's get them up.
They've been struggling lately.
Yeah, let's help them out.
So
they're good people over there.
So anyway, should we dive into the actual show?
Yes, for God's sakes, let's talk about this show.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so cold open. We get cold open Trump rally in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Baldwin, Trump. In front of his supporters.
You know how they do.
We're just going to keep getting it. There's no way around it.
Trump had the building a wall in Colorado gaffe this week, and so SNL had to do that.
Building a wall in Colorado to keep out the New Mexicans.
And we had a lot of the cast members coming on and doing quick walk-on bits, because I guess I'm thinking at this point... Baldwin just wants to play Trump as little as possible.
I've noticed that too. Like whenever Trump's on now, or whenever Baldwin's on as Trump now, it's never him by himself.
He's not carrying the sketches anymore.
Yeah, he's like, all right, have this person on, have this person on, have this. I just want to do it as least talking.
I'll grimace a little bit and I'll do this. So,
and then like have these other people carry it because I don't want to carry it.
So we had Chloe Fineman. She came on as Raquel. She was the former Teen Miss USA and she's the current secretary of something or other. I missed it in my notes and I forgot to check this morning because I was all excited about the Entertainment Weekly thing.
Yeah,
deal
yeah.
with it.
Ooh, that's right. We're big time now.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I have my assistants do this sort of thing now. We had Cecily Strong come on as Christine. She was an angry Trump supporter. She had a t-shirt that said, Keem America Greed a Grain.
Yeah.
Which
is based on an actual Trump tweet because he misspelled all that. I think.
Yeah. That's what they said. I mean, because the man makes a lot of typos in his tweets. Or maybe they're not typos. Maybe he just doesn't know any better. He's not a very bright person.
No.
And then
AD came out saying, oh, I love you, Trump. I worship you as our one true white lord.
And then she later said, the earth is flat and Beyonce is white.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
I can see all of this happening.
Mm-hmm. We had Mikey Day who came on. He was representing Bikers for Trump. Nice that Mikey Day has his voice back because apparently
That's right.
He lost his voice just before the live show last week.
Yeah.
So glad that he's healed up.
Mikey Day is back, baby.
I like the Mikey Day. They had, let's see, my notes.
Oh, and Pete Davidson, he had like a little applause break when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out.
I think people have missed Pete.
Yeah, and he came out as like an ISIS member.
Yeah, he said, thanks for bringing jobs back to ISIS. And because it's not a Trump sketch unless you have Kate McKinnon play a disturbing troll man who's in the Trump administration. Well, not in the administration, but a Republican troll man.
Right.
I should be clear.
Yes.
I should properly hate my troll man.
Yes.
So we had Kate McKinnon returning as Senator Lindsey Graham. And I really think we're at the point where in the future, Kate McKinnon will have played every Republican for 15 minutes.
I can see that happening.
Andy Warhol was wrong. It's not everyone will be famous. It's Kate McKinnon will play every Republican for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's her wheelhouse. Is this what she does now? But there were some parts, like, I guess because Lindsey Graham has a weird way of talking, I couldn't understand some of the things she was saying because she was like kind of warbling, like, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, they're all just gradually becoming Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, in life and in these sketches.
Yeah, it's very, what's happening here?
Yeah, yeah. Next we had Alex Moffat as Mark Zuckerberg.
There were so many people coming on for this sketch. I was like.
It was like a conveyor belt of people coming in.
It's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Just parading everybody. They were like, let's hit on all the stories of the week. Let's this guy and this guy, and we can get a line out of this. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Moffat came out as Mark Zuckerberg,
who testified before Congress this week, and
yes, and he did that awkward Zuckerberg laugh. He has like, ah, yeah, ah.
I like what Alex Moffat has done with the character of Zuckerberg.
Right.
I enjoy that, and yeah, there's a lot of disturbing stuff that came out about Zuckerberg this week. And
yeah, the more and more I learn about it, the more and more it's like I should really get off Facebook. This ain't. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, as a comic, I kind of got to stay with it.
Yeah, I know. It's for comics and also like for the comic book stuff I do. It's so good for networking and reaching out to people and contacting. I'm in.
I'm stuck. It's like
I'm committed.
Could somebody make a better Facebook for me to go to?
I'm sorry, I'm contributing to the downfall of democracy, but I do need it to network for work.
Yeah,
so.
I'll donate money to Red Cross or something. I'll balance it out somehow.
I'll give to the ACLU.
There you go.
I mean,
we're not terrible people.
Well, at least we try not to be terrible people.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we are terrible people. But
we try not to.
And isn't that the main thing?
We're doing more than our president is.
Yeah, he's not trying.
Yeah, so cut us some slack, man.
He's not trying.
Lay off.
Yeah. Get off our case.
Yeah. We were mentioned in Entertainment Weekly, all
right? That's right. Yeah. We don't have to deal with this shit anymore.
That's right. Gah, fuck this. I throw down my cans like,
your cans.
I'm done with this. Yeah, cans. Gah! I'm done with this.
We do not have cans, ladies and gentlemen. We have little headphone things that, like what you had on your Walkman in 1986.
Whoa,
those are what we have in this
studio. Way to show the peek behind the curtain, fella. You're breaking the allure. Another big word. Look at me. Wow,
I want to swallow a thesaurus this morning.
I know. I'm on a roll.
And we also
call me butter. I'm on a roll.
Okay, let's get past this.
I'm sorry.
Open.
Yeah. All right. So we're still in the cold open. God damn
it. I know.
Oh, this is going to go long. All right. So Daryl Hammond came on as Bill Clinton.
Yes, making his grand return.
That was a shocker. It was like,
it was nice to see Daryl Hammond bring his Bill Clinton back. I mean,
yeah.
I've missed him. And Daryl Hammond, he's there every week because he's the announcer who took over for Don Pardo.
Yeah. So and they had a little. He dropped a few things about he's getting impeached. And, Trump was like, "Oh yeah, I'm getting impeached." And then of course, in his Bill Clinton voice, was like, "Oh, you dirty dog."
Yeah,
it's like no, it's for something else.
No, it's something different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like when you did and people were okay with it.
And then we had another SNL alum, Fred Armisen, as the president of Turkey.
Yay!
And it was at this point I wrote in my notes, okay, that might have been too many cameos.
It was, yeah, it was.
This is like well over half a dozen people. I haven't counted up all the names, but.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like 7 people. Oh, 8. Because we had Cecily came out, then 80 came out, then Pete came out, then Lindsey Graham came out.
You forgot Mikey.
Mikey Day came out, Alex Moffat came out, Daryl Hammond came out, and Fred Armisen. That's 8 people. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And then,
but they covered a lot of ground, and isn't that the main thing?
Yeah.
That you want in a cold open.
Yeah. Not funny jokes, just covering a lot of people.
They hit on a lot of the current events of the past week.
And some of it was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, there were a few good lines in there. I don't mean to be overly harsh on this cold open.
I do. I'm the bad boy of this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wearing a leather jacket and smoking a cigarette.
I walk into place, George Thorogood plays in the background.
That's right.
Smoking a cigarette like Andrew Dice Clay.
That, of course, is from George Thorogood's song Creep.
Yeah. God damn it. No!
What?
What is... Okay. So then... Then they say Live from New York is Saturday night, and then we go into our monologue. Chance the Rapper comes out wearing a Chicago Teachers Union sweatshirt.
The UTC.
Yes, the CTU.
CTU, excuse me.
UTC is something else entirely.
I'm dyslexic.
Wow. But yeah, because the teachers' union's on strike, and he's there showing support and solidarity.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of cast members wearing those T-shirts during the good nights
as
well.
Yes, very much
so. A lot of support for the Chicago teachers union.
I mean, as we all know, teachers aren't the best paid. So, like, it was nice to see him showing some love to, the teachers, as well as his hometown, Chicago, which, in his open, he sings a song about his hometown of Chicago, also known as the Second City, which he, in his heart, he thinks it's the first city, but he goes on to say he thinks that a lot about other things. Like, he always likes what's considered second best as the first.
Right. And I thought that was a great premise for the song. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved the song. I didn't... It was going so fast that I didn't get any of the lines down.
Well, he mentioned how he prefers Luigi to Mario in his mm-hmm. song. He says he likes California Dreams over Saved by the Bell. He prefers Redbox over Netflix. He likes Scrappy-Doo over Scooby-Doo. He likes the second best of everything. And then Kyle Mooney comes out agreeing with him. He likes, you know, Qdoba over Chipotle.
And Kyle said, like, I sympathize with this because I'm from San Diego, which is like the second city of California.
Yeah, and then Chance's like, yeah, I've never heard that. Yeah. He's like, no, it's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I've never heard that. If anything, I thought that'd be like a third. Like, I thought it'd be like L.A.
San Francisco.
But I don't know, whatever.
We'll give it to him. For the sake of the song. It was a funny song. I enjoyed the song. I thought it was a pretty strong monologue.
The one line I liked is like how they say they prefer isthmuses over islands.
Oh, yeah. And then they went into a little tangent about what an isthmus is.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember reading about that in school. Isthmuses. Yeah. All right.
And they were like, is that really second best to an island?
Let's say yes and move on.
I think I'd go peninsula first, personally.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Guys, call in. Tweet us.
Yeah.
Let us know your favorite landmass.
And actually, we got a tweet from our friend on Twitter, Ruby the Rube.
Oh, nice.
Which is at Ruby_the_Rube. Okay. So they're one of our frequent commenters and listeners. And they had some questions about the cold open and the monologue. So I figured this would be a good place to address that.
Let's do it.
Ruby says... imagine you guys are the producers. What would you do to fix these political cold opens? Do you think they need fixing at all?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I don't know exactly what I do, but it does seem like they're more geared towards talking about, you know, what's happening. You know, the most recent events of the week, which you kind of have to do, but at the same time, maybe a lot of those things you could just use for Weekend Update. Because I have noticed they do this quite a bit, and like a few other SNL podcasts have brought this up too, where they talk about what happened during the week, most recent events, in the cold open. But then again, they also talk about it in the Weekend Update too.
Yeah.
So they're like kind of saying the same thing.
But I think traditionally the cold open has been a political sketch. I mean, at least for... most of the last decade, I would say.
Yeah.
It's usually like, because that's what's on the country's mind, and particularly now, like, everything's so insane and so volatile, but a lot of these sketches, they feel like you're running down a checklist.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay, we got to talk about Zuckerberg, we got to talk about the building a wall in Colorado thing, we got to hit on the Lindsey Graham thing.
Turkey.
And so it didn't feel like, a lot of times it feels like we didn't have an idea for a cold open, but we have to do one because the expectation is there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like you need like maybe a better concept in which to put the dimensions of what the current events is. Like, it just seems like you just mentioned all these current events and things that happen, but you have no real kind of jokes or
much connective tissue among those things.
Exactly. Like, I would make a stronger connective tissue or just like a better framing for you don't have to mention like the political stuff.
I mean, you
top.
Could mix it up and do a non-political cold open. I mean, there's no rule against that. I mean, the show, the show has a formula and it's got it down, and obviously it works for the show and all that. But it might be fun to mix it up.
Yeah, I mean, I thought one of the best cold opens of last season was when the R. Kelly thing happened. Mm-hmm. And it was Leslie Jones and Keenan, and there was just the two of them, and they were kind of recreating the R. Kelly. And,
The interview.
Yeah, the R. Kelly interview. Yeah. Like, where, you know, he has a meltdown. And
totally... he's talking to the plant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, that's a great cold open. It's like, it's funny, you got a structure there, and it has nothing to do with politics. Because, like, it was one of the things where, like, each episode was like, you know, Trump, 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 Trump.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, people just getting kind of tired of it, and it's just kind of...
I mean, the show's just kind of at the mercy of current events in that way. So, I mean, there's only so much they can do. Honestly, if it was my show, I think what I might do is just say, Alec, thank you for your service. You don't have to do Trump anymore if you don't want to.
Right.
And, you know, Daryl Hammond's there. He does great Trump. Yeah. Bring him in. Let's see what he brings to the party. Let's shake it up a little.
Yeah.
I don't know if Daryl Hammond would even want to do that at this point. I mean, maybe he's just comfortable doing the occasional cameo and doing the intro.
Maybe.
During the credits?
It does seem like maybe they're testing the waters a little bit by having him come on as Clinton and doing that thing. So, like, I mean, I'd be happy with having Hammond as Trump. Just something different, because it does seem like people are getting tired of Trump and just Baldwin as Trump overall.
Yeah, like, I mean, because I've said this on the show many times before. I mean, it was basically, he was just going to be a joke, a stunt casting for Trump in the lead up to the election, and then against everyone's expectations, I think, including Trump's, the man got elected, and then so they just kept going with it, and
they don't have an exit strategy.
They don't have an exit strategy.
Yeah, they're like,
and we've got, let's face it, at least another year of Trump in office, and you know, who knows? Everything is so insane now. The man could get reelected. I hate to even say it. I mean, I'll just give it a little problematic bell preemptively for that. Hi, problematic Bill. I haven't rung you in a while.
Hey, old friend.
How you been doing? But who knows? Yeah. So they've changed the actor playing the president in the middle of administrations before.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Ferrell left before George Bush was out of office.
They switched out Obama's.
They switched out Clinton's.
Yeah.
Phil Hartman did Clinton, and then it was Daryl Hammond.
Yeah. So just switch it out.
So there's precedent for it.
Yeah. So just switch it out. We're not like
switch it out. Mix it up.
Yeah. People aren't married to having Baldwin as Trump. They're not like, oh, not my Trump. Like, just whatever. Yeah. Just switch it up, and people just go with it.
Yeah. And honestly, I think at this point we've probably gotten about everything we can out of Baldwin's Trump.
Absolutely.
And if he doesn't have much passion for it anymore, why do it?
Yeah, so just like...
And you don't have to have a name playing every prominent person in the news.
Yeah.
You don't have to stunt cast every...
That's what the cast is for.
That's like, what the cast is for.
you know all those other people you have just sitting around coming in? Like, give it to a cast member, or just give it to, you know, like, give it to Hammond. Just, you don't have to have... You don't have to lean on... Baldwin doing. People are kind of tired of Baldwin at this point.
Like, yeah, I think so. Like, I think Baldwin's tired of Baldwin.
Yeah, if we're all tired of it, just end it.
Yeah.
For the love of Pete.
Throw in the towel.
Yeah, throw in the damn towel.
Ruby has another question, though. He said, in Chance's monologue, he said he preferred Sega Genesis to Super Nintendo. Where do you stand on that?
Ooh, interesting.
I don't really have an opinion on that personally, because I am not a big video game guy, although ironically I did work for a video game developer for 7 years.
Oh, wow. What? Did you tell them that in the interview? It's like, I really don't care about this video game thing. You're hired.
No.
Okay.
No. It started out as a freelance job. They eventually hired me full time.
Okay.
It was, and then eventually the company was bought out by EA Tiburon and moved the whole operation down to Florida. I was like, I don't like this job enough to move for it.
So he said, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Sort of. Yeah. Okay. And then I was like, am I getting severance? And they were like, well, no. So I was like, okay.
Well, severance this.
Yeah. And then I was
pointing to your junk and gave the
thing. And that was the first time I went on unemployment.
Oh, boy.
So
first time.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I go.
First time, but not the last. Comedy career is going great, guys.
Oh, boy. Please hire us.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter.
So I don't really have a horse in that race. What about you?
When I first, started my video game journey, I started off with the Nintendo, and I was playing Super Mario and everything, and I liked that. But then my dad went and got us the Sega Genesis, which I really liked, and that's when I was going off playing Sonic the Hedgehog, Altered Beast.
That was a good Matthew Sweet album.
What?
Altered Beast.
Is there an album called Altered Beast? Oh, wow. Maybe they named the video game after that.
Huh. Maybe. I think that has Matthew Sweet's song Creep on it.
God damn, I knew you were going to say that.
It's a runner. I've got to do it now.
Oh, boy. All right. But yeah, I never got to Super Mario. I never got to Super Nintendo. So I guess I'm with the Sega Genesis family. It's like, that's where I land on it. But, you know, I'm not anti-Super Mario or Super Nintendo or anything like that.
Well, I hope that answers your question, Ruby.
Yes.
And oddly enough, our first sketch of the night also has a video game theme.
Segway!
We had League of Legends World Championships.
Yeah, so basically it's like it's kind of a play or a continuation of a character Chance the Rapper played on last time, where he was like a basketball reporter who's knowledgeable about basketball, but they put him in report on a hockey game, and he knows nothing about hockey.
I don't think I remember that sketch.
You don't
at all.
Remember that? That was like from the last time he hosted.
Okay.
And it was like kind of his breakout sketch where it was like, you know, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. And it's very obvious that he doesn't know anything about hockey. But
I vaguely remember this as you're describing this now.
Yeah, yeah. And so like,
did he sing the song "Creep" at any time
God
in this?
Damn
sketch?
It! With this rule of threes, people, rule of threes. No, he did not sing "Creep."
Okay.
But yeah, so basically, it's that same character, Laszlo Holmes.
Yes,
and he
covers Knicks games.
Yeah, he covers basketball games and Knicks games. But instead, they have him cover this gamer kind of competition where it's like all video game guys, and he doesn't understand anything about the video game world.
Yeah.
And it's a fun little concept. He's just like kind of clueless about what's going on. He interviews one of the gamers played by Bowen Yang, and Bowen
did a nice job.
Yeah, he's kind of talking in like video game talk about what he did, and he's like, yeah, I don't understand any of that. But
and we had Chloe Fineman show up as like a video game groupie.
Yeah. Which, you know, shocked, of course, Laszlo. It's like, oh, my God. And, like, he's like a groupie, like a really cute girl comes out and says, oh, my God, I love you. Can me and my friends join you backstage? And they were like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Bowen goes off with this groupie and, like, five of her attractive friends. And, you know, Laszlo's there just agog because, you know, nerds be fucking these days, apparently.
Yeah, this sketch didn't quite work for me because I didn't. It seemed to have that underlying premise of like the, oh, video games are only for geeks thing. And I'm just like, it's 2019. That's not the case. Video games are mainstream.
They are. Yeah.
They're not like just a geek subculture. They're just a thing people do.
They are. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
And I felt like they were hitting the, oh, aren't these weird geeks thing more than the oh, this guy doesn't know anything about video games thing.
I kind of see that, but I mean, I don't think it was like kind of anti-geek, but like making fun of, because it did show that like geeks are like, you know, getting tons of girls now and like becoming these like superstars. And they did mention at the end of the sketch how the winner of this was getting like a $7 million bonus, and like the guy Laszlo, he was like on the outside not understanding. Wait. All these geeks are like getting all this money and girls. What's happening here?
Yeah,
he seemed like out of his.
It just felt very muddled to me.
I see what you mean. Like this, I thought the sketch was okay, but yeah, there wasn't much to work with really.
Yeah,
it was mostly based. It was like mostly Chance carrying this.
Yeah, and Chance. I mean, he played his part well. He plays awkward and confused well.
Yeah.
So he did a nice job.
Yeah, he was all right. Next up, we had Judge Barry.
First impressions court. I kind of like this, where it was just people walking into the court, and he Judge Barry, he makes a determination within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Usually just based on the people's appearance.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It's a good concept because it is something like a lot of people do when they watch like a court show, like, you know, Judge Judy or People's Court, where they just look at the plaintiff and the defendant, and they just see, oh, the defendant, he has a gold tooth and he talks with a lisp. And he comes into court wearing like Nikes. So he did something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so it was just they just basically took that and just made it into a court.
Keenan comes in. He looks kind of, I'll just say, pimpish.
Yeah.
You know, he's dressed very flamboyantly.
You can say pimpish. I don't think pimps will get offended.
Well,
hey, my father was a pimp. How dare you?
A white guy saying like, "Oh, this black guy comes in and walks and looks like a pimp." That he might not be the best look.
He looked pimp-esque.
So okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Very Dolomite.
Yeah, so I gotta watch that. I hear that's amazing. That's Eddie Murphy's on a new thing on Netflix. Dolomite is My Name.
Yeah, and I've heard nothing but good things about it.
And I believe it's written by the guys who did like Ed Wood and The People versus Larry Flint.
I believe so.
Those guys who do all the weird biographical movies.
I believe so. Yeah.
So I love their writing. Scott Alexander and Larry Kaczorowski, something like that. I'm mangling their names, but.
Like, you know that off the rip.
But it sounds really good, and I like their writing a lot.
Oh, yeah, Larry Kaczorowski.
Okay.
But yeah.
And the other one's Scott Alexander, right?
Yes.
Okay. I try to remember the names of good writers.
Yeah.
oh, and we should also mention, going back to the courtroom sketch, we had a Jason Momoa cameo.
Momoa came out of nowhere.
Yeah, just random Momoa.
Random Momoa.
They just sprang some Momoa on us with no warning.
Nothing wrong. He's a big, handsome man. I got no qualms about
burly
that.
Burly, handsome man.
Yeah, and so he came out. He fumbled a line because he was saying, look, Your Honor, I'm a certified he was supposed to say certified paralegal, but he said certified paraplegic.
Did he?
He said it, but then he corrected himself, and then he giggled that he said.
I don't think I noticed that because like his shirt was open. I got very distracted.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Gorgeous man.
I got lost in the man's biceps. Yes. What am I going to say?
But yeah, he fumbled the line. He said paraplegic instead of paralegal.
Okay.
And then he laughed at his own goofiness.
Well, that's good. You know, if you make a mistake, you got to just roll with it.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
It's true. That's right.
You know?
And luckily, if you had the chest for it, people won't notice.
Right.
You met mistake.
Right. It's like what the Beatles said in their song Creep.
God damn it.
Anything else to say about this one?
No.
Okay. Next, we had a fake ad, a pre-tape with the kids going into the kids' kitchen, and they've got lots of snacks. And we find out Chance's character, he's like, "Well, I've got this snack." Yeah. And
it's basically like the opening of like the old Sunny D commercial, where
right? Kids I got come, purple stuff. I got this. I got that. And
right. So and basically, like, so they're all going to Chance the Rapper's house, and their kids after school. It's like, "Hey, what do you got for snacks, kid?" It's like, "Oh, I got you know Wizzy," and he was just naming tons and tons of snacks. I got Wizzy Poppers. I got chocolate covered gob boobers and blah blah blah.
Gob boobers.
I'm just making up nice stuff.
Like, gob boobers. I want to try some gob boobers.
Gob boobers. Yeah. Hey now.
All right.
But so he's just naming snack after snack after snack, and then one of the kids says like, "Hey, wow, you got a lot of snacks here."
Yeah. He's like, "Oh yeah, my parents are out of town."
Yeah. And then they say, "Oh, your parents? How long have they been gone for?" Like, you know, like a while. And then the kids kind of look around and notice there's like a pile of unopened mail.
Yeah.
And then like, there's tons of pizza boxes
by
the door. But like Chance is just constantly, he just keeps naming snacks.
Right.
And then they kind of notice that like the picture of the mom and dad.
Their faces are scribbled out.
Yeah. And then they notice like there's like, it looks like somebody's trying to scrub out blood on the carpet.
Yeah.
And then they notice that the fridge is like duct taped up. And they're like, "Hey, Chance, where are your parents? What happened to them?" And then like, he just kind of...
Oh, they're away. You know, yeah. They're not around.
And then they notice the fridge is duct taped up. So like, "Hey, what's in the fridge?" And it's like, "Oh, no one's in there." And so anyway...
What do you mean no one? And then finally he pulls out Tasty Toaster Tarts,
right,
which I love that name. And then all the kids go nuts of like, "Hey, Tasty Toaster Tarts." And,
right. But at one point there's like a thing that happened where he's like, where they confront him. It's like, "Dude, what happened? What?
Yeah.
Where are your parents? What happened?" And then he goes like really quiet for a minute. And it looks like he's about to, like, you know, some violent outburst is about to happen. But then he gets a Tasty Toaster Tart. So it's like, "Hey, Tasty Toaster Tart."
Yeah.
And everybody forgets it. And then it's like, "Hey, do you have any milk?" And she goes to the fridge. It's like, "Don't go in there."
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, the guy killed his parents.
Yep.
But I think it's the sketch of the night.
I agree. Sketch of the night. This is what made me laugh the most.
Yeah, it's and the hardest. I mean, it's super dark, but it's also hilarious.
It was great. I didn't see where the turn was coming, and it's always funnier to you when you don't see where it's going.
Right. Like for a minute, I thought the turn would be that like he was home alone because his parents like abandoned him. Like But then it got way darker than I thought it would be.
No, like having him, you know, do a Menendez on the parents.
Yeah.
Much much funnier.
Yes. Menendez, always hilarious.
But we're comics. We're twisted people, and we're dead inside. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why we like the song Creep.
That's right.
Now I'm doing it.
Yeah. I see you've come over to my side now. I brought Darren over to the dark side.
Oh. But yeah, sketch of the night. I thought this was hilarious.
Sketch of the night.
Absolutely. Next up, we had this graveyard sketch.
Yes.
Spooky song.
Spooky song is what it's titled on the YouTubes. We got Heidi and who's the boyfriend?
Probably Moffat or
Day? Mikey Day or
Mikey Moffat, Alex Day.
Or was it Kyle?
Oh, it might have been Kyle.
I honestly forget.
It might have been Kyle.
I think it was Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle got a good chunk to do this episode.
All right, apologies to the cast member who we're not remembering right now. But let's describe the rest of the sketch.
White guy.
There are a couple hooking up in a graveyard, and then some ghosts come along and they start singing a song.
Yeah.
Each one has a verse about how they die.
Yes, exactly. Like it was 80, it was Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Moffat was one of them too. But anyway, they each had a story.
Wow, Moffat was playing two parts in this sketch. That's incredible.
He can do it all.
He can do it all. He's so versatile.
But maybe it was Day. God damn it. I'm sorry. I apologize. Like, no, it was Day. It was
this
Day.
Is so funny to me because like when we first started talking about SNL on my Facebook account, and like Alex Moffat and Mikey Day, they started on the show around the same time. We were getting them mixed up and our joke was like they were both these two anonymous white guys.
Yeah, Mikey Moffat, Alex Day.
Mikey Moffat, Alex Day. And
Now I genuinely confuse
them. Now we genuinely confuse them, which doesn't really happen to us anymore.
Apologies, guys. We do like you.
We do sincerely like you both on the show.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that coming up later.
Right, right.
When we get to Chance's character in the song about how everybody died, he's just like, you can skip me. Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
And then all the other ghosts stop and they're like, wait, what? What? No, we gotta get into what happened to you.
We're doing a thing here.
This is the whole... And he says, my death was a real, you had to be there situation.
Yeah. Happy Halloween. Skip me, please. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. And eventually they keep on him about this, and it eventually comes out like he stuck a 9-volt battery in his butt and he liked how it felt. So it went from there. And so eventually, I think he climbed on a roof and like stuck a lightning rod up his ass, up his pooper. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he wanted to get a lightning bolt up his back.
So there. That was how he died.
And the thing they did, like, cause the production was really pretty high end.
This was a technically very, very impressive sketch. And,
They had like puppets and like, they had like the skeletons playing piano.
They had
owls.
Animated clowns.
Yeah,
I was very impressed with the sketch from a technical level. That was nuts. And
because one thing that was happening was like as everybody was describing how they died, they had like the clouds in the background, mm-hmm. kind of doing like a forming like a visual thing of how each one died.
Yeah,
and when Chance was talking about how he died, they had like the clouds in the background, kind of sitting.
Illustrating his story.
Illustrating a guy sitting on a battery and enjoying it, and then the clouds forming a guy with a lightning rod up his poop hole.
Yeah, and one of the writers, Streeter Sedel, he actually tweeted, he said, I have to thank SNL's designers, Leo Yoshimura, and the digital team, Tara B. Donnelly, and Monkey Boys Productions for creating my favorite set ever for Spooky Song. They gave us everything we asked for, and it was amazing. And yeah, I was really impressed with the set. I was really impressed with all the technical stuff, the animated clouds.
Like,
how are you doing that live? I guess they were like green screening them in somehow or something.
It was a lot for like just a joke about getting killed by sticking something up your butt.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Not to discount the writing or the performances, right. But I was just most impressed with this technically.
Yeah, technically, it was like, wow, they went all out with this.
The SNL tech team, they do amazing work. Man. So
good grade.
So hats off to them.
Yes. Tip of the caps.
Yes. Next we had
performance.
Chance the Rapper's musical numbers.
Zanies and Fools.
Zanies and Fools was his first number.
Yeah, yeah. Had some home video of I guess was his child, his son or daughter.
I don't know. I don't know. It started out with a song with a sign that said "The Big Day," and when it first came back, I thought the sign read "The Broad Day."
Oh.
And I didn't know what to think.
No, I mean, I know The Big Day is the name of his latest album. So maybe that was it.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chance the Rapper, but I'm not too familiar with all his stuff. Like, I know...
I guarantee you know more than me, so... Wow.
Okay, I mean, I know he's from Chicago.
I know that now, yes.
And I do like his rapping style. Is like, very quick, and it's kind of like an old-school type of vibe, but the beats are kind of... like newish or like appeal to like a newer or younger crowd. So I should find out more about him, but like, I don't
you
know.
Should or should not.
I should. Like, I know I should. I should know. Like, I think I like his stuff.
Uh-huh.
From what I've heard, I thought his stuff was okay. And like the fact that he went so long without like signing to a label was pretty impressive.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think he signed.
He was independent?
He was independent for a while. But
how did he break? Did he break online or something?
Yeah. It was like one of those things where like he just like had this following and he just wasn't signed to a label. I don't know. I don't even know if he signed to a label now, but I think I gotta look it up. But like he got really far without signing to a label. Which
honestly,
is like
the main thing I knew and remembered about Chance the Rapper before he hosted this show was just how incredibly sick I got of his Super Bowl commercial.
With the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, just not because it was a bad commercial, but just because it ran so damn long.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, I was still seeing this in September.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it was just like, I was so tired of it. I was diving for the mute button whenever it came on
TV.
Yeah,
I understand. I mean, it's not 1-877 cars for kids bad, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that commercial can just go.
They don't have those commercials national, do they? The cars for kids?
I think they do.
Do they? Okay.
Just because I was watching an episode of The Good Place,
uh-huh.
and they made a reference to it. So I was like, all right, they wouldn't have referenced it unless...
But that seems like a show that's done by the coastal elite, so who knows?
Yeah, of course.
So
not by like the hard-working Americans in the Central America.
No.
Not Central America?
Central America.
I meant
building the Panama Canal.
All those hard-working Hondurans. No, I meant like mid-America.
Middle America.
Middle America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, the two things that popped out at me and... I'm just going to say right now, this is not particularly insightful or maybe even interesting, but I was interested that he introduced himself like he was a third person.
Yeah,
I've never seen
weird.
A host musical guest do that before. He was like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chance the Rapper. And I was like, but you're Chance the Rapper.
And then it
went to the...
Yeah, it was weird. Why don't you just have one of the cast members do it? Like, that's not what they always do?
That's what they usually do. I remember one time when Justin Timberlake was doing both jobs, he was like, ladies and gentlemen, make some noise. And then he went into suit and tie.
Yeah. Or like when Donald Glover was the host and the music guest. He had like some guests do it. Like, he had like Daniel Kaluuya come out and do it.
Right.
Or who was the other one? Lenny Kravitz's kid. Zoe Kravitz, I think.
Came out.
So, like, it's weird that you'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, me.
And then
you'd go do
it's
it.
It's weird. We should start doing that at like comedy shows. Just like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome me. And like just MC our own shows and like introduce our own sets.
I like it.
That's what we should do.
I like
and
it.
Also, he had drums with glitter, which, you know, I'm always going to like that. You put drums with glitter there. And the glitter comes up when you're drumming. I'm a happy man.
I don't know why more people don't do that.
I don't know. It always looks great.
Saxophone with glitter.
Yeah.
Drums. Just all put glitter in all your instruments, people.
Yes, absolutely.
Glitter up your bass.
Yeah. Put it on harps.
Yeah, harps. Yeah.
Tambourines.
Oboes. Whatever you got.
Yeah.
Just, you know, blast out glitter wherever.
Put it on your piano.
Yeah, pianos. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Rip Taylor just passed away. We got to show our love
somehow. We got to keep the glitter going.
That's right.
In honor of Rip Taylor.
The glitter does not die with Rip Taylor. The glitter will carry on.
And then his second number, he did the number Handsome.
Yes, with Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes, who's a
rap artist.
She is a rapist.
Yes, easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
A rapist.
Rapist. She raps.
She raps.
Yeah. And that was good. That was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
I didn't
like the second number as much. You know, it was fine, just not my personal thing. So I don't have too much to say about it.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
I mean, again, I'm not a huge. I feel like I shouldn't know more about Chance the Rapper. I don't know that much about him. I'll probably look more into him now. Like, it's stuff that was all right. So, like, all right, maybe I just give this new hot shot a chance.
All right. Next, we had...
Weekend Update.
Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Sorry, I burped. I didn't do it in the mic.
No, you didn't, but that was very, very funny.
I timed that pretty well, right?
You did.
Yeah. That's right. That type of timing that gets written up in Entertainment Weekly.
That's right. I'm sure he mentioned the well-timed burps. don't do it on mic.
Yeah. If he doesn't, he should.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of, you know, of course, what's going on with Giuliani and, I mean, Che had a great joke about how Giuliani, like, what happened to Giuliani? Like,
yeah.
When
he's the 9/11 of mayors.
Yes, he went from the mayor of 9/11 to the 9/11 of mayors.
Yeah.
Which is a great joke.
That's a great joke. Solid joke. Good line.
Che had another great joke about how, you know, AOC is promoting, you know, endorsing Bernie Sanders. Like, oh, great. Mm. Another young woman turning to an old man promising to pay for college.
That was great. That was savage.
You hate to see it.
It
was a great... Great joke.
Let's see. Another Che line I wrote down was talking about Giuliani butt dialing the NBC reporter. He says, he's like, was he like Forrest Gump in Vietnam? Where he's just like, he was talking about Giuliani on 9/11. And yeah, was he like Forrest Gump in Vietnam where he was just there and he's like accidentally triumphing?
Right.
That was great. Jost had a good line early on because apparently Trump's name was taken off an ice skating rink.
Yeah, in New York.
In New York. And he says, you know you're losing your appeal with white voters when you're losing ice skaters.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
It's a good line.
It's a good line.
See, Jost, we give you your just due.
We try to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something hurtful now.
Oh, all right. Sorry. I spoke too soon.
You know, thus the cosmic balance is maintained.
Peaks and valleys.
We had Mikey Moffat Alex Day as Eric and Don Jr.
Right.
I always love it when they make an appearance on Weekend Update. They've become a good go-to for the show, and I always look forward to them. I don't even remember what they were talking about, but I just love watching Eric mirroring Don Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
That was great. He was just mirroring all, like, what Alex Moffat has done with Eric Trump, and great support from Mikey Day too. Like, they're a great team.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey Day is a great straight man, and
yeah,
Alex Moffat just plays off him very well.
And throughout where Mikey's making gestures, you just see Alex Moffat as Eric just mirroring, yeah, and slightly imitating everything he does, but
yeah,
but he's like a young child, and
right. I mean, like, no one comments on it. You just have to see it, and it's like, oh, I see what they're doing.
It was much fun.
It's like great, subtle comedy work.
But, you know, I realized, like, watching, when I saw, like, a three shot of the two of them with Colin Jost, I realized, like, Jost kind of looks like a lost Trump son, like a long lost Trump son. I was like, if we found out that Donald Trump was Colin Jost's long lost father, I would not be that surprised.
Are you saying Colin Jost is the bastard son of Donald whatever his middle name is, Trump?
I don't want to go that far, but
that's the most hurtful thing you've ever said to him.
He just has that look. He's got that ultra preppy look. He looks like he could be a Trump.
He is from Staten Island. I mean,
yeah,
Trump is from Queens, so I mean, that's like a ferry ride away.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to say anything right now.
I'm not going to start a campaign to see Colin Jost's birth certificate or anything.
Right.
I'm not going to be a Colin Jost birther.
You're just saying that they both need to go on Maury Povich and settle this once and for all.
Let's have that happen. Let's have that happen, because for as much time as Trump devotes to being on the Maury Povich show, right, that's less damage that he can do to the country. So I am all for it.
When it comes to Colin Jost, you, Donald Trump,
are not the father.
Donald Trump does like a dance, like, oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't know. It was just a thought I had. It's just...
I mean, you're not wrong, yeah, but... it's possible. I don't know. We're possible. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He has that entitled white guy vibe, you know?
He's very preppy. He's just...
He's so preppy.
He's as white as the driven snow.
I try to like him. I have a tough time with it.
You're not wrong. A lot of people don't...
And, you know, the engaged to Scarlett Johansson thing doesn't help.
That don't help.
It's hard not to resent the guy.
Yeah. He's from Staten Island, so he must know some adversity.
He's from Staten Island. He went to Harvard. He ran the Lampoon.
Yeah.
And...
But yeah, he's just... Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. He's kind of bland, and doesn't know what to do with his arms. you know.
There was an article I read. I forget where I read this, but apparently Jost went to Harvard at the same time as Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah. I think I remember hearing
and
that.
They were there at the same time. They didn't know each other really well. They probably just knew each other in passing or something. Mm-hmm. And they talked to some of their classmates, and apparently the main things they had in common was that they were both so focused on their own directions, their own career paths, that their classmates didn't see much of them.
Like a Zuckerberg type.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. So they weren't ultra sociable. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because Joseph played Buttigieg on the show. And
I mean, it makes sense. I don't see Jost as like a party animal type of dude. He seemed like the guy that would stay in on a Saturday night and like do his studies.
No, and if you're running the Harvard Lampoon, I'm sure that's a big time suck in itself.
That's true.
So that takes a lot. So
wow, this has been the Colin Jost podcast.
I know, I know. Let's see what else we got.
That's all I wrote down.
Let's see. I had new Kanye gospel album turning into an old black lady. That was an observation.
Oh yeah, right.
And then he did a Bruce Jenner joke that it seemed like it abruptly ended.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was like he chickened out on it or something.
I think that was just the end of it. It was
just no reaction. It seemed like he only got halfway there and stopped.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the full joke or he just figured, this isn't going to go well and just bailed on it.
Yeah, it felt like he bailed on it. I don't know what happened there, but felt like he bailed.
Yeah.
Which is unlike Jay.
He's usually just gung-ho about everything. He knows no fear.
And let's see, I got another couple things. They talked about the all-female spacewalk that happened
week,
and they said there was a male astronaut inside the spacecraft just yelling, "Kiss!" then at the end, they said there was a person who had trained their rat to paint, and they said the painting was bad even by rat standards. Ooh. I just thought that... that needed a cutaway of like a bad painting to really for that joke to really land.
Yeah, I heard that joke and I was like, all right.
Yeah.
That joke was...
It needed a visual.
It needed something. It was just kind of...
It
was whatever.
It was just kind of a whatever line, but I was like, if you had a really funny looking bad painting, then that could have landed much better.
Agreed.
But it was a rather short weekend update.
Yeah,
overall.
Yeah, it's pretty short too.
I mean, it's unusual that they only have one set of people come on.
Yeah.
Usually they have at least two. But
yeah, I mean, last week was like pretty long. This was like pretty short.
Yeah, so maybe it was longer in dress and they just cut some stuff that wasn't working. Who knows?
Yes, I don't know. Next one, it was this. This one where there was a bunch of women in a restaurant.
It's called Love at First Sight.
Love at First Sight, yes.
We had Cicely Strong there. She's in a sparkly black dress. She's there with her girlfriends, Ego and Heidi. And she just broke up with her boyfriend, and her girlfriends are comforting her.
Right.
And Chance plays William. He comes up and he says, I'm nice, but I'm also shy. And they start dancing together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then they have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then they feel like they're falling in love. They're floating on there. And then they actually float. In up air, like they're both hooked up with like ropes,
harnesses
and ropes, and then they're actually levitating off the air, like signify their feeling and falling in love and whatnot.
Right, and then but it becomes very awkward, and they start sort of swinging around, and they're knocking shit over.
Yeah,
I
think at one point, Ego and Heidi talk. It's like, oh, are they floating?
Yeah,
and like Heidi's like, no, it's actually more like a low hover.
Yes, yeah, because they were like 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah,
And
at one point, Chance says, oh, have you ever... This line made me laugh. I don't know why. Chance says to Cecily, oh, have you ever had champagne? And she's like, no, what's that? And like then they kind of awkwardly hover over to the bar, and then like they're knocking over glasses
and
everything. And
then ultimately when they kiss, and then Chance sinks down because I guess he just wasn't feeling the chemistry.
Yeah, but she was up there. She was still floating.
And she's still floating, and it's very awkward because now she's the only one floating.
Yeah, because she's like, why are you going down? You should come up here where the love is.
Yeah, and then she starts trying to like reach her purse and get things in and out of her purse.
That took a while. It
took a long time because, and I'm sure this was for a technical reason, because at the end we have Beck Bennett, who is the bartender, who is like, oh, hey, I will...
Yeah.
Go with you. And I'm sure that was covering for Beck getting into his harness.
Oh, is that what you think that was?
I'm 95% sure that was that was covering for him changing or getting into the harness somehow.
Okay. But yeah, so then to console her, Beck, who is behind the bar, who the bartender, floats over to her, and then the two of them are floating and falling in love, and then they kind of float out the window, and then you hear like a car crash. This one seemed... It felt like a dress rehearsal I was watching. It seemed really sloppy.
My notes said I kind of wondered if this worked a little better in dress.
Yeah.
I wanted to like this more than I did. I really liked the idea.
It
had the potential for some great physical comedy, but the timing seemed a little off.
Yeah, it's just people were breaking, of course. I mean, it happened.
And understandably, because a sketch like this, it's by definition kind of a crapshoot because it's never going to go precisely the same way twice.
Right.
So
yeah, but it seemed kind of sloppy, this one. It was just like,
it wasn't what it should have been, I think. Yeah. And it's too bad.
Yeah, I like the concept. I like the idea of falling in love, comparing it to actually floating in the air, and how he kind of went back down to the ground once he realized he wasn't feeling it. Like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea, but I think it'll need a little bit more rehearsal, a little bit more.
And I liked a couple of lines, like the, have you ever had champagne? No, what's that? That's funny. There was a line I wrote down early on where I think right after Chance comes by to Cecily, she says, even if he's a psycho, it's nice to hear you're pretty.
Yeah, that was a good line too.
That's a great line.
It has a couple of good zingers in here, but ultimately...
It never really fired on all thrusters.
Yeah,
which is a shame.
Yeah,
because I'm sure that was like a lot of time and effort, and I'm sure it was physically difficult for Chance and Cicely and Beck to be pulled by who knows what,
like, stagehands or whatever in the
floating
back.
And those are probably digging into their
midsections
or crotches or whatever.
Exactly.
But.
Yeah, that ain't great. I mean, unless you like that sort of thing.
But I think this was the last thing that Cecily did for the night, and understandably
she's like, get this off me.
I'd be like, I just want to soak in a tub after this.
But yeah, like it's close, but no cigar for this one.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Next up, Space Mistakes.
Another pre-tape, which is chances are astronaut, he's about to go out into space, and his family's really concerned that he might make a mistake, or there might be a mistake made, and he'll get into trouble, and It's kind of parodying all these space movies like Apollo 13 or Ad Astra.
Right, right. And yeah, about like mistakes that happen, or The Martian. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people are always worried about something happening or going wrong in outer space. And so, yeah, the tag is, what happens if you messed up at work, but your work was space?
Yeah.
And, of course, it goes off with Chance and Beck and Kyle kind of taking off in a rocket ship, but Kyle doesn't have his seatbelt on, so as the rocket ship takes off, he
spatters in the back.
Yeah, he flies off his chair and splatters all over the background.
There's a big thing of blood on the back of the
like a water balloon full of blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty gross.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just shows all these other people making mistakes in space.
Yeah.
I don't know. This seemed kind of...
This was okay. I was kind of ant on this.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was come together quite right.
I mean, it was like, once you got the basic joke about they're harping on the mistakes in space, there wasn't really much more to that. There was the shock value of Kyle spattering into a big balloon of blood, but that was about it.
Yeah, and then everything else, it just showed more mistakes they were making in space, and I was like, all right, I guess this is it. There was no real big payoff.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Dazzle Designs.
Dazzle Designs. This is on YouTube as Choir Fashion. This was Dazzle Designs show choir attire. This was Kate and Adie playing another set of middle-aged women, like they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're peddling their show choir designs.
Yes.
Where people are wearing like the sparkly vests and the bow ties and the stuff like you saw in show choir in high school.
Yeah, look like you're going to prom where the theme is virginity.
Yes.
Or like the buttons tell you that they're Velcro.
Again, this didn't really have any surprises for me.
It's just like Adie and Kate kind of cracking each other up.
I think I need to take a break from these type of sketches. I think I need a break from these.
I know
Kate and Adie, they do enjoy doing them, and they do have chemistry together. They like playing off each other. But we just had something like this.
Oh, the apples?
A few weeks ago. And
I thought that worked better than this.
It seemed kind of soon to be returning to that well.
Yeah. I mean, these seem like the kind of sketches where, like, the cast seem to be having more fun doing it than we do watching it.
Yeah. I think
I'm glad you guys are having a fun time.
I think I need a break of a few months from these.
I wouldn't say no to that.
If they break from it for a few months and then they bring it back one more time before the end of the season, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But also, if we don't see one of these by the end of the season, I wouldn't be heartbroken.
Yeah. I mean, they do play off each other very well, but they go...
And I usually go for these. Maybe if they had live animals.
Interesting. Know? Oh, the cats thing?
The cats thing.
Maybe dog cart?
Let Cecily play with some more dogs.
Dog court? Yeah.
Some more of that live animals, tough to go wrong there.
Yeah, some barnyard animals, maybe a pig or a...
Yeah, I don't know if my Cecily plays with pugs idea has gotten any extra traction since I suggested that after dog court. But
time to retweet that bad boy.
I want to see that. I want to see, you know, and hell, put Cecily in a harness and let her play with pugs in a harness.
Ooh.
That might be dangerous for the dogs. I take that back.
We don't want the ASPCA to come
maybe
down on us.
Maybe cushion the studio floor.
Yeah.
Put some nice mattresses and some foam rubber there so that they're not hurt.
So pugs in a bouncy castle. That's what you're saying?
Yes. Let's do that. Let's put Cecily Strong in a bouncy castle with pugs. And now that sounds like a very specific fetish now that I've said that
out loud. I'm
sure
if you look that up, it's there somewhere.
Don't
look that up on your work computer.
Okay, I should just stop talking.
Maybe we should.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. we don't want to get put on a list.
All right, we got one more sketch.
Final one. It's a dance duty, Wolfman dance instructor.
Yeah, they're Earth, Wind, and Fire dance backup dancers.
Yeah, does Earth, Wind, and Fire, do they have dancers? I don't think they do. Because there's so many people in Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I did not fact check that.
Aren't there like 37 people in Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yeah.
Aren't they like Wu-Tang members at this point? Like, they don't have room for dancers on the stage.
I don't know.
All right. But either way.
Do they do something like that in their song Creep?
God damn it.
I lulled you into a false sense of security. You thought I was done with it.
Just when I think you're done.
Just when I think you're out. Pull you back in.
All right, so yeah, this sketch takes place in 1978. It's a dance studio for the dancers for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Keenan is the dance instructor, you know, telling him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing near these three open windows, and he sees there's a full moon, and he's like, oh no, it's a full moon. I need to bring down the shades. And he brings down the shades because it turns him to a werewolf. And he goes off stage, puts on werewolf makeup, and he comes back in. And he's becoming more and more werewolfy. And then he sees the second window's open. He's like, oh, no, the full moon. I need to pull down the blinds. Oh, these blinds. And he pulls down the blinds, and he repels in horror. He goes out the room, and he becomes more of a werewolf. And then he's near the third window, and then he says, ah, a full moon again. Oh, I need to bring down the drapes. Oh, the drapes. And then he becomes a werewolf fully, and then he, like, pushes Chloe Fineman into a wall. Through a wall. Yeah. And then, you know, he's like a werewolf now. And
fucking sketch.
Yeah.
This was awful.
I'm
not going to mince words with this one. This was awful.
I really felt like with the sketch, they just wrote down, let Keenan do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah. This was Keenan at his worst and most self-indulgent. Wow. And overacting.
Wow.
And
whoa.
This is why I would not be sorry if he left the show.
I don't think he's going to go. No one wants him to go.
He's entrenched.
He's entrenched. It's like they said on the...
I've seen him do this sort of thing too many times, and I'm so sick of it.
I'll admit, it is a lot of Keenan just kind of mugging. And
they let him mug and overact way too much.
Yeah.
People
like it.
I thought this was like technically impressive, and that he kept leaving the stage and then coming back with more werewolf makeup on. That was the only thing that I liked or was impressed by. The rest of it, I was just like, this was painful. I don't understand how this got past Dress.
It did. I mean, I guess it probably just got past Dress based on the strength that it's Keenan. Everybody loves Keenan.
Yeah, I mean,
let Keenan be Keenan.
It could have just been like Keenan's light on the show. He needs a nice showcase sketch, but this was not it, man.
It was.
And I hate to be this negative about it, but this was a really weak one to end it. And I think this was SNL at its worst.
Wow. I mean, I didn't love it enough to defend it. But
yeah.
Yeah. It's it was definitely a sketch.
It was a sketch. It ate up that airtime.
There you go. So you're saying something good about it. There you go. You found a silver lining.
If they had cut this one off like they did in the Halloween special from 10 o'clock, I would not have minded that.
There you go. All right. There you go. Silver
lining. I would have rather seen the Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders again and then just cut this one off after 20 seconds.
Oh, wow.
This was...
Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind that.
It was not good, you guys.
It was rough. And the fact they just had him push Chloe through a wall kind of out of nowhere and...
I mean, I was surprised by that. That was the only thing. But I mean,
Oh
no, full moon! How are people not sick of this? I see on Twitter and I hear on some other SNL podcasts. They're like, oh my god, Keenan, he's great. He's so amazing. He should take over the show when Lorne leaves. And I watch this and I'm just like, no.
He's charming enough and like likable. Likeability goes a long way.
I guess so.
But yeah, I didn't love it, but like it's, I guess people just overacting and that mugging.
Yeah.
just find charming. I can't defend it.
I don't like it when they let the show get this self-indulgent, and this was really self-indulgent.
I mean, they do.
I mean,
Kate kind of does it too from time to time.
Yeah, I'm not sick of Kate. Yet, though.
All right.
I mean, she's been on the show a lot less long than Keenan has.
I mean, yeah, she's been like 8 years, wow, I guess.
7 or 8 years, something like that.
Ooh.
And Cecily's been on for a similar amount of time.
Yeah, 80.
Not sick of her yet.
82.
80's been on for a good long time. She came on, I think, a little after Kate. I'm not sure.
I thought they came on at the same time.
Maybe. Hmm. I don't know.
All right.
You know, the show's such a steady evolution of people like coming and going. I mean, we haven't had like a clean break on the cast for a long time. And I think that's by design because Lauren doesn't want to do that again, rebuild the show from the ground up.
It hadn't been like that whole like a rebuilding, Chris Elliott to era to Will Ferrell era.
Right. So it's always better if you have people basically serving an apprenticeship and they're playing like a lot of waiters and waitresses and sketches. And,
right, right.
and stuff like that. And you see that happening with like people like Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang. They'll just get like one or two things in the show and maybe some nice showcases. Ego is still kind of in that state.
Yeah, yeah. Although Bowen's getting more and more, I see. He's getting a good chunk. He's getting a good stuff to play with.
But
yeah, the last sketch, I was like, eh.
It did not work for me at all. I'm sorry to be that negative, but wow. I thought it ended the show on a really low note, man.
You're a negative Nelly there, fella. All right, and that was the episode. Hey.
That was the episode.
Not the strongest episode.
Nope.
I
thought this was the weakest of the season overall. I mean, I really liked the commercial parody with the kid who killed his parents. I thought that was sketch of the night.
The way it's great. I like that kid killing his parents thing. I agree. Like that was the best sketch. All the other sketches I thought were okay or not great.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really defend any of the other sketches. Like, I thought the best one was the tasty toaster treats and everything.
Yeah.
Everything else was,
I mean, there were some good lines in Weekend Update. There were some things that...
there's some good lines.
Should have been stronger than they ended up being, like the big harness sketch.
Yeah, the floating.
The
They had, like, good parts here and there, but
some
of the parts, yeah. There was a weird vibe throughout the thing, and I thought Chance was breaking a lot. I know it's like he was giggling through like the last sketch. He was giggling a little bit.
He did, during the judge sketch. He broke
like when Momoa came out. Yeah. He was breaking here and there a lot. And I was like,
I mean, I didn't mind it. He didn't break so much that it was annoying, and I thought he did a nice job overall.
Yeah, he was all right.
I mean, if it's a bad show, it's hardly ever the host's fault. I feel.
It's. It's the nature of the beast. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the show's always going to be a crapshoot by its nature, so...
This is true.
You have an off show, and that makes you appreciate the good shows all the more.
That is very true.
And, hey, they did one great pre-tape, so...
Yeah, there you go.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to accentuate the positive.
Yeah, we're not trying to be, like, all doom and gloom. We're not that, we're not that weak in SNL.
Yeah.
We're trying to be, like, a little happier. So, taster toaster toodle tweets or whatever treats. What was that thing?
No, you got it exactly
tasty
right.
Tasty toaster toodle tweets.
Yes,
treats. I don't
know.
Yeah, that was good.
Say it again.
Tasty choice creep.
Creep. Yes.
Creep.
Okay.
All right. So next episode, it's Kristen Stewart and Coldplay.
Yeah.
And that's
and their song Creep.
And their song. And their song Creep.
Kristen Stewart's gonna jam on the song Creep with.
Yes. On the. Harp that'll spit out glitter.
But in the meantime, if you want to follow the show on Twitter, you can find us at SNL Nerd Show. I'm at Trumbull Comic. Darren is at Darren Credible.
Yes, Twitter, Instagram, and my website, DarrenCredible.com. I got a show in Jersey City coming up this Wednesday at Montgomery Hall. I'll be part of the WFMU show.
Nice.
This Wednesday, October 30th.
Cool.
So come out if you're in Jersey City.
All right. Little pre-Halloween action. Woo! Darren Patterson. And he'll make you laugh and he'll make you scream with laughter.
I
don't know.
I'll do all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably just tell some jokes I've told it before.
Yeah. That's how stand-up shows usually work.
That's scary enough.
Yeah. that can be frightening.
Oh, my God. Oi.
That can be frightening. All right. So, anyway, I think that's about it for next week. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. And until then,
nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.